This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the mini siode.
The mini times when we tell you your many, many stories.
So you've written so many stories into us, and now we're going to present them to you.
Back at you.
Hometowns, things that have happened to you that got you into true crime in the first place. That was the original.
Yeah.
Now we've gone off into ghost stories. We've gone off into sinkholes. Mm-hmm. We've gone off into, we should probably tell people, no one else needs to tell us about the lady that fell into her own wall and then was discovered there years later.
Or that someone's parents found a basement in their kitchen.
Yes.
It was a wine cellar.
We got that one.
It's fine.
We're updated. Now I kind of love it because it's like our own Google alert.
Where yeah.
Anytime there's a sinkhole that happens around the globe, I'm the first one that knows about it.
It's pretty great.
There's no complaints over here.
Yeah.
But this is specifically, this is where we gather all those stories and then retell them to you.
It's almost like the weird stories that you can't tell anyone else.
Yeah.
We just want your weird stories.
Bring your weird stories here and then we'll tell everybody else about them.
And yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The subject line of this is John Belushi haunted my baby brother. Dear Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and Pets, I've been wanting to write to you for a long time, and finally, during a recent and still active binge of the podcast, got the inspiration. I grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles with my parents, younger sister, and younger brother. My brother, at the time of the story takes place, was 2 to 3 years old.
Okay.
One day, our house's septic tank backed up and flooded our entire house.
Oh.
My mother, being who she is, decided that the only place that could comfortably house a family of five was the Chateau Marmont.
Oh, girl.
Oh, damn.
Oh, by the way, these are all Los Angeles-based because we're having our Los Angeles show this week.
Oh, that's right. In celebration of the Orpheum show that we get to do for you guys this week.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen pulled all L.A., County.
Mm-hmm.
I went with some Burbank and some Glendale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going all over. You sprinkled the best of the best. So that's what these are.
Okay.
So once we're talking about the Chateau Marmont, you know we're in Hollywood, baby.
Shit, girl.
So this mother of three is like, let's get this whole act down to the Chateau Marmont.
You know what? This is disgusting. Let's do it.
Was your mother Candy Spelling? Okay, so we moved into one of the bungalows, a two-bedroom standalone house perched above the pool, which just so happened to be the same bungalow in which John Belushi died from an overdose in 1982.
Shut up.
Uh-huh. My parents took the master bedroom, my sister and I shared the second bedroom, and my brother, who was still in a crib, got a large walk-in closet. Enjoy.
Throw your kid in the closet.
Strange little things would happen in the house, like smoke alarms going off for no reason. They do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Doors slamming shut. That's the wind. Lights turning on and off.
Electricity.
Yeah, that's how lights work. and an overall feeling that there was just some sort of energy around you.
Mm.
And it wasn't a negative energy, just a presence that you could feel like a soft breeze blowing by you. Well.
That's the breeze.
That's called a breeze. My toddler brother began waking up during the night, calling for my mom. She would repeatedly go check on him, come and comfort him and tell him to go back to sleep. One night she asked what was bothering him and he replied, "The funny man woke me up. He wants to play cars." She would frequently hear my brother talking to himself while playing, and strange things continued to happen throughout the bungalow. One day my brother was playing in his room. My mom walked by and saw him sitting on the floor. She walked into the kitchen for a couple of minutes, and then when she walked back in to look in on him, he was no longer on the floor, but standing up in his crib. Since she knew he couldn't climb up in there himself, she asked him how he got there. The funny man helped me.
The funny man,
he said. This is absolutely the beginning of one of the Insidious movies.
Yeah.
I'm positive. This is a cheap and ultimately boring horror movie.
Oh my God.
That you're setting up. No offense, not boring to you, but I see a lot of those movies. Really boring. We eventually changed bungalows. Good plan.
Yeah.
And didn't hear any more about the funny man.
Yeah, but like the funny man, like stay there because at the other bungalow it might be the scary man.
Exactly right.
The mean man.
It might be.
The funny man is like your best possible fucking possibility.
Think about all the other crazed asshole drug addicts from Los Angeles that have stayed at the Chateau Marmont.
Go with the comedian.
Yeah. Okay, so a few months later, my mom was in bed with my brother reading a book on the history of the hotel. She turned to the chapter with John Belushi with a black and white portrait of him filling a page. My brother saw the photo and, clearly recognizing it, started giggling. What is it? She asked. He wouldn't answer her. He just continued to smile. She asked again, what are you laughing at? Do you know who that is? And he giggled and nodded up and down. Who is that? She asked. That's my friend. That's the funny man. It turned out my little brother had been spending his nights playing games with a very lonely John Belushi. Aww. He was so young at the time. There was no way he knew who John Belushi was prior to all of this happening. What if he was super into SNL as a toddler? Naturally, no one ever talked about his death in that bungalow to a toddler. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed this ghost story. It made me feel sorry for John Belushi, but I'm glad he found some solace hanging out with my brother. Aww. And hopefully got a few laughs from him. Stay sexy, don't get murdered, Gina.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
That is such a good family story.
Yeah.
That's what we want. We want family stories.
Yeah, we could back that up. We could call the Chateau Marmont. We could call your mother. We could call your toddler brother.
We want the story. I want the stories that like your family always knows and talks about. And like, that's the thing that happened to Aunt, whatever the fuck.
Yep. Or they were all there.
Remember when we were kids and that's the thing that happened.
Yes.
Totally. It might be about a fucking sinkhole. It might be about a thing that was found in the wall. It might be about your grandpa was a murderer.
We'll just call them aunt stories from now on.
Yes.
It's the story your aunt told you.
All right. Here is one called Murder in a Composting Toilet.
Okay.
Hey, friends.
You don't like it. Composting toilet. So it's where you pee and throw spinach?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's find out.
All right.
My name is Ava, and I often listen to your podcast while driving my younger siblings, age 15, 11, and 7, home from school. Oh. Appropriate? Probably not.
No.
Are they now huge fans of yours? Oh, yeah.
We got the 7-year-old?
Yes.
Hell yes. Fuck you, Disney Channel.
When I went to a hippie school in Los Angeles until 8th grade, and one of the things that the school is well known for is its biannual camping trips. Oh, hippie schools, man. Shit.
Always giving you those sesame stick candies.
Yeah, and like gold stars instead of grades, and like find your own curriculum or whatever the fuck. I want to take a nap.
Work at your pace.
Yeah.
We support your nap.
No shoes. Wash your feet.
Wash
your feet class. Okay. In 2014, my 8th grade class... Oh, fuck, she's young. In 2014, my 8th grade class went camping at a strange, intentional community in Central Oregon. Intentional
community. It was no accident that community was there.
I think it's like living your life intentional with intention, with intention of
boo.
Fucking hippies. Okay.
How about some rando shit?
Yeah, let's
That's
make
what we're
shit
about.
Weird and crazy.
Come on.
It's a thing I'm eating. I don't know. I have no intention of finding out.
It doesn't matter. Pull a fire alarm. Let's fucking get out of here. So don't do that, 7-year-old.
Do it. Essentially living not like us.
Yes.
With unintention.
Right.
Okay. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. Ba-da-da-da. Intentional community in Central Oregon. Think grown men striding around naked, people living in yurts, and pot everywhere.
Okay.
It was certainly an interesting decision on the part of the school to take 25 eighth graders there for 2 weeks. Jesus.
What?
But apart from a few leering old men... We had a pretty great time.
Were the men naked?
Probably. I mean, what was leering at them, you know?
Yeah.
A few months after we left the community, I heard through the school's camping director and former resident of the community herself that there had been a murder at the community. Apparently, some guy went crazy because his wife was sleeping with another man. So he killed his wife's lover, chopped his body up, and put the pieces into the composting toilet they had on site. A toilet that I had fucking used just months before.
Oh my God.
So like a composting bin is like you use it to then feed the plants and stuff, right?
Yeah. So I think it's just basically instead of having plumbing.
Right.
Or having to like actually put lay pipes, if you will.
Yeah. I will.
You shit into
a bucket.
A bucket that then there's things in there that break it all down.
Okay.
To return it to the earth.
Gross.
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to explain how a composting toilet works.
Well, and I just tried to, but I could absolutely be wrong.
Well, she says, because I'm not exactly sure and I don't feel like it.
Okay.
But I will say that the toilet was a great place to put a body because it already smelled like decomposing matter from all the compost.
Ugh.
The body wasn't found for weeks after the killing. And when it was, I don't think anybody in the community really said anything to authorities or outsiders.
What?
The only reason I heard about it is because this employee at my school is friends with the people in the community and knows I love hearing about scandal.
And scandal.
God, it's not scandal. And told me all about it. All I know is that the killer was exiled from the community and presumably unleashed upon the rest of the world shortly after the discovery of the victim's remains.
God.
Anyway, that's my hometownish murder. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay sexy and don't use a composting toilet, Ava.
No problem, Ava.
Ava, I was about to use one and now I'm going to go use indoor plumbing.
Holy so essentially, molly. It's like a nudist... colony. Yeah.
For hippies and people who like want to pretend that eating like a nut loaf makes them a better person than
me. Okay. But then also people who have no respect for the law.
Right. Well, yeah, like fucking street justice. Don't you fuck my wife? You know?
Yeah, but no.
No, 100% no. Listen. Grow
Look.
Up and put some clothes on.
Please.
Just at least some bottoms. I don't want to see junk everywhere.
Even just a simple loincloth. Wrap some shit around
like duct tape a leaf to your fucking dick. Is all I'm saying.
With scotch tape.
With scotch
tape. There's a 7-year-old listening.
Oh, okay. Fuck. Ava.
Ava, please. This subject line is near kidnapping. Near kidnapping, miss. Lighthearted. Okay. Hi, MFM fam. So, my mom and all her 9 brothers and sisters Ooh. Grew up in Pacoima, California, which, as Georgia says, even though she grew up around Los Angeles, she still has no idea where it is.
I stand by that.
You probably know it from La Bamba, as Richie Valens grew up there, too.
Yes.
Yes. Best movie. Anyway, they lived about a block away from the elementary school they all, and most of their children later on, attended. One day, my aunt was walking home alone from first grade.
Uh-huh.
Early Goodbye. 70s, am I right?
Go home.
Yep. Good luck. You're 6. When a strange... Let's ask the 7-year-old listening right now.
Yeah.
How much would that freak you out
you
if
imagine?
You had to walk alone for 4 blocks to your house?
I mean,
They don't do it anymore.
No.
It's not done.
And most of us had more than 4 blocks to walk.
Yeah, I think we had a solid 2 miles.
Yeah.
Uphill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both ways.
Okay. So she's walking home alone from first grade when a strange man in a car calls her over and tries to lure her in with the phrase,
"Oh no,
come eat chicken."
No, that's not going to work on a 6-year-old. Sorry.
She was, of course, freaked the F out and ran home crying, where she promptly told her 8 other brothers and sisters what happened. I guess since older siblings can be assholes, and she did make it home, they teased her about it
what?
For years, chasing her around and calling, "Come eat chicken."
Oh my God.
At her. This near kidnapping was used as a cautionary tale for all the kids in our family to show that you don't have to be far from home to be taken.
Uh-huh. But also everyone will make fun of you about it for the rest
That's
of
That's right. That usually it's in your worst time
yeah,
when your siblings will find a thing to hang over your head for the rest of your life.
God.
When my own son at 8 years old tried to convince me that he was old enough to walk the block home from his own elementary school, I told him this story as one of the reasons why close to home doesn't always mean safe. When I was done, he looked up at me with wide brown eyes, burst out laughing, and said only, "Why chicken?" I guess kids don't scare as easily as they used to. Anyway, my five sisters and I love the show. Wow. Five sisters. That's six. There's six sisters all together.
What's wrong with your brothers?
What's that?
What's wrong with your brothers? Why do they hate us?
Oh, because they don't like fucking vocal
fry. Real life.
Fuck you. Whoops. SSDGM Veronica. That was a great story, Veronica.
Oh, come eat chicken?
Come eat chicken. I picture it's the most interesting man in the world from the Dos Equis commercial sitting in a shitty car.
And he really just wanted to feed her like his new recipe of like the best chicken in the fucking world.
That's right. He's like, "You must try this. My spices. So spicy."
It's been brining in beer. All right. Okay.
Boop, boop, and just a drop of mayonnaise.
Ew.
What? I'm a chef.
Oh, right. Drop of mayonnaise. Mayonnaise. Why is it so loose that it's dropping?
Ew. But you know why? Because I left it out in the sun.
Picture the smell of mayonnaise right now. Go ahead. I'm going to let you do it.
No.
It's so sour.
Mm-mm.
Yuck. Do it.
Okay. Because you making me do that now, you know my mayonnaise memory is when my mom would deep condition her hair on the weekends by putting mayonnaise in her hair.
Like me.
And
wrapping it with saran wrap.
And she had long nails and she would get mayonnaise under her nails.
Yeah. I don't know why I did that.
A nightmare.
No, I remember that of this just disgusting smell.
Yeah.
But the softest hair.
I mean, really nice hair.
The softest, smelly hair. It smelled like for two shampoos after. All right. Listen.
Look, you can afford Alberto VO5
now. I
can
afford a $1.99 pack of fucking single-use Alberto VO5.
That's right. Heat it up in a glass of hot water.
That's right.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Okay, this is called When I Found Out My Dad Kidnapped People. Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and Pet Menagerie.
Nice.
I'll try and keep it short. When I was 11, my dad took me on a trip to Los Angeles. I was really excited because I got to see my family and never got to go with him before. He said it was a work trip, but he'd make time for me. Oh, thanks, Dad.
I mean,
for your fucking family.
What an honor.
I know.
To be paid attention to as a child.
My most important thing in my life is work, but I will make time for this less important thing of you, my child.
Listen, block out 7 to 7:30 for old daddy-o. We're going to watch Three's Company together.
That's right. You get a fucking TV dinner. Okay. One evening at dinner... TV dinner. He asked me what I knew about cults. At 11, my answer was nothing. My dad proceeded to explain what they were to me and told me the real reason for the trip. He had been hired by parents to kidnap someone and do a deprogramming job.
Her dad was a deprogrammer for cults.
I had a brief moment of wondering if he had once kidnapped me. Fair fucking assessment.
Oh my God.
But suddenly all those warnings about vans and the game where we tailed people at the mall, quote, to show how easy it was to follow someone, unquote, made a whole lot more sense.
Oh my God.
Hey, let's play the following game.
Come on, Daddy wants to play the game where he puts a silencer on a gun.
He liked us to always be prepared and would hide in bushes and jump out and wanted us always to be ready.
This is called child abuse.
Oh my God. He wonders why I need anti-anxiety medication. Wait, how he wonders I need anti-anxiety medication is beyond me.
Yes.
He would play a game where he would jump out from the bushes so they'd be prepared.
Dad, knock it off.
I bet he was fucking pissed the one time she kicked him in the dick. That was her preparation.
No, he was, because he was wearing a cup and he was like, perfect
proud.
Reaction.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. You're my sensei, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, all caps, this Thanksgiving, I found out that my mother was a getaway driver for one of these jobs. The other getaway driver had to drop out. The cops were onto him since he had, quote, killed some people since he didn't take shit from anyone. And then she says, what, Dad? Apparently, my mom posed as a nurse and helped kidnap actual doublemint twins with my father. There's a lot left out.
We've gone off the rails entirely.
Yeah, this chick is like, I'll try to keep it short. And we're like, can you please write us four more pages of what the fuck is going on?
You need to write a true novel about what's happening
to us. Turns out they weren't in a cult, but needed to call their dad because he was controlling and was calling deprogrammers because they weren't talking to him anymore.
What?
So the twins father, the twins had stopped talking to their father. He probably sucked. Oh. So he had started calling deprogrammers to be like, my kids are in a cult. Can you please go kidnap them? And the kids are like, no, we just hate our fucking controlling shitty dad.
He wants our double mint money.
Yeah, he wants that double mint money. I wonder if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about. Double the pleasure, double the fun. It's a great man of the statement.
Double mint gun.
Okay. And they would all be twins in the commercial.
That's right.
Okay. Because they weren't talking to him anymore. Luckily, they were so mad at their father that they didn't call the police on my parents.
Wow.
This is only a couple of wild stories I've learned from my family. S.
So it is true that the dad was a cult deprogrammer.
Yes.
It was just in that one instance, it wasn't a cult that they were in.
Right.
They just wanted to get the fuck away from their
right.
dad.
Right. S, yes, okay, that was your submission for us to give you a book deal, and yes.
Our new book imprint is coming out
yes,
soon.
Yes, we have decided to start a book company, and you're our first book.
There is a made for TV movie mm-hmm. that Paul Tompkins and I watched one time that is one of my favorite things I've ever seen. And it is the story, and it seems to be like a true story, based on a true story, of a guy that ends up joining the Moonies, the cult in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And the Moonies were a cult that really like got popular in the 70s. And what they would do is they would go into San Francisco and they would hold free spaghetti dinners. Mm. And if you were like poor or starving or whatever,
or
you could
liked
go.
Spaghetti.
Or just fucking loved a nice marinara sauce. You could go to these dinners, and then they basically, from there, they would do like cult fishing, where they would send out like a hot guy or a hot girl, depending on your situation, mm-hmm. and kind of get somebody to flirt you into like, do you want to come back to the thing with us?
It's home. We love and we farm and we fucking.
Yeah. So then you're suddenly weirdly looped into like, oh, this is, I've got some carbohydrates in my belly.
Yeah.
And someone's flirting with me and everything.
That sounds so much better than
I like it.
The streets, yeah.
Yeah. And then they have them selling flowers on the street, and they're slowly indoctrinating them into the cult.
Mm-hmm.
So this story is about a guy who gets fully into the Moonies, and he's like completely brainwashed. He's doing all this weird stuff, and his friend, who is a stand-up comedian in this story, it's like, you know, obviously not an exact person, I don't mm-hmm. think. But at one point, this hilarious, the friend who gets him out of the cult, like basically goes into the cult and finds him mm-hmm. and gets, they kidnap him and deprogram him is what made me think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the friend that's a stand-up comedian, when they go to show him at his job, at a club, he's dressed like a tomato. And it's like that alone, I was like, this is price of admission. But then the whole actual story of how they have to hire a person that like it is kidnapping.
Yeah.
They, against their will, take them.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, convince them that they have been.
But maybe they're not. Maybe they want to live there. Maybe they want to fucking live on a farm with hot people instead of having to dress like a fucking tomato to make rent money. And then barely.
Which is true, except if that, the farm life would have been great. But they're not.
Okay.
That's not where they live. They get, like, basically, it turns into slave labor.
Okay.
And it turns into these people that are like weirdly dedicated. They don't sleep and they don't eat that much. And they're just out like running around trying to sell flowers in the streets of San Francisco,
but
lying
in clothes and not a tomato costume.
That's exactly true. They're not dressed like vegetables, but all of their hard work goes to the Reverend Moon, who is like a billionaire.
Oh, that's why. So Mooney's from the Reverend Moon. Ooh,
yeah, he was in charge.
And that's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Okay.
And he was like an arms dealer. He got so rich off of the cult.
Shit.
That he was like a real, it's Wayne, seriously, but it's, I should find the name of it.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to try to do less describing made for TV movies.
Why would you do that? We have a whole spinoff podcast that we're starting with our book.
With our book imprint.
Book imprint.
Yeah.
And they're going to go together. They're going to be like companions.
It's a companion piece, right, where someone will tell a true story from their life. And then I'll just say,
oh, that reminds
me. That reminds me of a random thing.
Exactly.
And thank you, Stephen. This was a 1981 Canadian drama film called Ticket to Heaven.
Ooh.
I really recommend that you watch it. It's It's amazing 1981 style entertainment.
Canadian 1981 style entertainment, even.
And but then you really get to watch somebody get extracted from a cult. Mm. And they had a thing, I don't know if it was all cults like that or if it was just in the Moonies, but they showed you how to kill yourself if you want to.
No.
Really?
Like cutting your wrist?
Well, just that there's a way to do it.
Yeah, I know.
And but then there's a way to cut your wrist where you won't die, but you get out of, once you get yourself to a hospital, you can't get re-kidnapped out of the hospital, and the Moonies will come and get you.
Wow.
To get yourself out of like your parents' house, essentially. Or the family or wherever you've been kidnapped to. Like, they know that people are going to do that, and they basically tell you, attempt suicide so you can get out of there and we come take you back.
Don't do... If someone's telling you attempt suicide as the solution, even if they know you're not getting killed, you're in a cult.
You pause and get your hands on some protein.
Yeah.
Because it's a big thing where they keep you awake and they feed you a sugar.
Nut loaf, constantly.
You must demand soy.
Just eat a fucking... A chicken.
Try this chicken.
What was it? Oh my God.
Come have chicken.
Have chicken. And that is a full fucking story. He was trying to get her out of a cult.
Yes.
Of her family.
He's the chicken deprogrammer.
Dude, this fucking goes all the way to the top.
This goes straight to the bungalow at...
This is a fucking composting toilet of truth.
Los Angeles, you guys kicked ass with your hometown.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Those were all fascinating. There's celebrity references.
Yeah. That's all we care about.
That's all we care about.
Send your weird family stories to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, and stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
A goodbye.
Goodbye. Elvis, want cookie?
Whoa.
Bye.